Now on BBC Radio 4, our afternoon play. A mysterious visitor arrives in a Cornish village where water is the essence of our second elemental tale.
Bocock's Eve by Nick Dark with Barbara Jefford and Diana Berriman.
Hark. Can't hear nothing, can you? Tis they damn plastic windows. Myrna done that, me grandson's wife. She be back directly, gone spar. Myrna said to him, Gary, I can't take in visitors with they old sash windows rattling. She said when the wind blows, it's worse indoors than out. Visitors expect to be airtight. We gotta be airtight. I said to the boy, I said, Gary, I'm 93 years old, and they sash windows is all I got left. I can't walk nowhere, can't see nothing. I said, any day now, you gonna wake up and find me dead. I'm begging you, wait till I'm gone. Oh, no. Myrna gotta be airtight. Myrna gotta have her double glazing for the precious damn visitors. And here's me sat by the slab all day, sweating like a pig and airtight. She be back directly, Myrna. Gone spar. Open up that one there. You can reach. I can't stretch me body like I used to. Not that one. In there, look. Above the basin. And hark. Hear that? Spring tide. On the ebb. Baker's Rocks washing, harbour's half empty, top tier of boats is dry. Fair bit of lump breaking off the point. Lump mean weather. It's fresh. Southeast, 3 to 4. You can tell more about the sea by listening and looking at it. Boy Gary's grand for Albert. He'd wake in the morning, just lie there still as a stillborn calf. And hark at the sing of the shore. I'd say, go and see, dear. He'd say, nope, tin mainable. There's easterly blowing. Because if the parlour windows rattle, tis easty. But tin just the rattle. Tis how they rattle. If the boy's bedroom door slams shut, there's a sou'westerly blowing up. Now, with this here damn plastic, you wouldn't know if you had a tornado coming at you till he'd picked you up and dumped you in St. Just. And when the wind's off the land, it'd whistle down the chimney and the slab to get that hot. You can boil a pot quicker than you can say airtight. Pull in two, dear, before Myrna get back. She be back directly, Myrna. Gone spar. We had a gale, and Albert was at sea. I'd sit here by the slab, listening for the drop. Because there'd come a time in every gale when the sun eat up the wind, and it'd drop. And 'tis imperceptible. When there's west in the wind, the drop is in the rattle. In the east, is in the blow. Because easterly, don't rattle, it to buffet. Trouble with this damn plastic, you don't even get the buffet. Buggers built the buffet out. Must have cost them thousands. And all for the damn visitors. Oh, buffet was the worst for Albert. Because with the east wind, he got the lump rolling through the gaps. So if he'd been out east on the pilcher or herring, he got a following wind all the way home till he hit the gaps. Then he got the lump to contend with. He's out there picking his time, and he can see the house. And if I wasn't superstitious, he'd see my face at the window looking out. But I never looked out for him. Only harked. Never looked. I can recall when every single one of these houses had a woman in it harking. Now they're all empty. And airtight. She'll be back directly, Myrna. Gone spar. Only time they ever looked was when Boy Bocock went see. Then they had eyes on them like eagles, because they knew that superstition meant nothing when Boy Bocock went. There was altogether bigger forces at work that night. Well, that's what Albert Scranford said, anyhow, and he should know, because Boy Bocock was Albert Scranford's grandfather. He married a Wellett, Maud Wellett. That's Boy Bocock wed the Wellett, not Albert's grandfather. He married a Trebilcock. I'm a Trebilcock, but not that Trebilcock. She was a Trebilcock Botalic. I'm a Trebilcock Paul. Well, there's Bocock's married Trebilcocks all the way down the line, and every Trebilcock was different. Of course, we're all related, but distant. There's one Trebilcock come from Fratton, and Fratton's about as distant as you can get. Over the land, anyhow. Gary's the last. Last of the Bococks. Myrna's airtight in more ways than one. She'll be back directly. Gone spar. Tell you what, before she get home, open up that window there. No, not the basin window. The Bocock window. That one there. That's the Bocock window. Open he up. What did I tell you? Fresh. He'll get bigger than that. That's a storm coming in, that is. Big bugger. And with Bocock open, he'll blow right in. Damn it! Leave him ajar, will he? That's the window where Boy Bocock had his vision. He was no more an attacker, but the little bugger went and he come back. That's Bocock's for you. And if he hadn't gone and come back, I wouldn't be here in hell. My God, that's some lump. You can hear the chop. That's the wind brew. But I can hear the rout above the chop. Hear the crack in the brake? Means the air's thin. Tis gonna rain. Tis roaring. Hear that? That in wind. Tis lump. That's a ground sea. Ugly. Killer, that is. Ground sea. What Albert called a bocock. Albert would often open up the top window like the boy did and sit up on the table like he was a tacker and stare out the storm like the boy did.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'd say, Albert, get out off that table and shut that window. Just like the boy's mother did.
Tom, get down off that table, shut that window.
Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Of course, the mother was in no state to scat the little bugger and pull him down off the table, because she hadn't ate for 12 days. 12 days. What with the snow to the west of them and the storm to the east, that lump, it was all lump.
Thomas, what the hell are you doing up there?
Slab wasn't lit. Coal had run out. They didn't know it, but the boy's grandmother was sat alongside the slab, right where I'm sat now. Dead. But 'twas that cold she'd froze. All breath had quit her 3 days before. There wasn't no stench or nothing. But the ice on her creaked. like her voice.
Ram! Don't creak him, Willie.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Thomas! Ram! You stop going on.
There was more life in the grandmother dead than mother living.
Tom? I'm going, Thomas. I can hardly breathe no more.
Come on, come on, come on.
Thomas! Shut the damn window!
And with that, Thomas was gone, through the window. Somehow, the mother, half dead, clambered up on this here table, and when she got here, she stared. And all Mousel stared with her. They watched the boy run like a skeiner down poor, clamber over the dock wall, unchain his father's punt. Little cadger, nothing more, 15-footer with a 50-fathom drift net barked and stowed ready to shoot. With the strength of 10 grown men, he launched that punt. He couldn't set no sail, not in that wind. He rode with damn great sweeps, bigger'n a man could lift, out through the gaps. God damn it, the lump coming at him was higher than a house. It falled on top of him, but he come through the other side. And the next lump, crash, but he come through, rowing like a foul pecking dirt.
Come on! Come on!
He rowed out to Phony Head. 'Twas pitch black, but they could see him. 'Twas thick with blizzard, but they could see him. The lump was Mountain's army, but they could see him. This little tacker in a punt, a cadger, nothing more. Rowing. And high above him, just below the cloud, a lone booby shaped itself out of snow. And the boy followed that gallant.
Come on! Come on, come on!
He was out a mile and a half off, right in the thick of it. There was half Mousel dead with famine and the other half dead or more. But they was cheering. And he could hear them.
Come on! Come on!
The quick eye gannet marks the pilcher's course.
Come on!
He's diving!
The booby folded back his wings, tipped vertical, and plunged like an arrow. And round the punt, the sea went oil. And the cry went up.
Come on! Come on! Hold it! Hold it! Come on! Hold it!
The boy shot athwart the tide like his father taught him. Those ashore, with breath still in him, held it. Out shot the warp, and fathom after fathom slippered over till the punt was empty by the seasons. At that moment, the gannet broke water and flapped about the punt.
When? When? When?
The gannet rose gleaming white and became snow again. And that's when the little bugger started all in. Those ashore, watching, spoke then of a thick, black cloud falling like a sheet before their eyes.
Can't see nothing.
They couldn't ogle the net. They couldn't ogle the punt. They couldn't ogle Bully Mokaw. The wind picked up and blowed harder than ever before. The lump roared above the gale.
The boy's lost!
The mother, close to dying, froze through, put her frail hand on the window, and drawn down shut. She laid out on the table, and death paid a call. Beyond the veil, she heard a cry.
Color! There's color!
Tom!
Through the cloud, through the snow, through the lump, they beheld first red. Then 1,000, 10,000 lights, glistening, shimmering. Through the mist, the punt took shape with a tap.
Skipper sat on top the net, rowing for his life, his little arms like piston rods, and all over stacked eye, the glistening shimmer of silverfish. Pilchers. The following on, after, was the biggest lump of all. He ran so high, he took off the side of the top of the mount, chasing the boy towards the gaps. The power of it, he couldn't fight it. He couldn't beat it. He couldn't outrun it. It picked him up, his lump big as a church, foaming, and carried him. Boy stopped rowing. If he'd have broached, he'd have rolled and be gone, but he never. It took him straight for the gaps, this lump. If he'd hit the bull's nose, he would have scat to atoms. But clean through the gaps it took him, up over the arbor wall, and pitched him punt, net, fish and all, right here, outside this here very window.
Mother! Mother! Come on! Mother!
100 gurries a pilcher, boy Bolcott took that night. Those who hadn't died balked them down. They squeezed the oil out and lit the lamps. The slabs burned again, and food was ate by they with a jaw to work it for the first time in 12 days. But this slab here, he wasn't fired. The window never opened to his tap. Thomas had to walk round the house and come in through that door.
Oh, this weather! Oh. Hello? Visitor?
Yes.
I took Miss Simon's dame weeks back.
You can't turf her out.
I'll have to air the bed.
Well, look at the state of her.
I can say.
She's about to give birth.
Congratulations.
Leaking wet. No coat up on her. Hardly a stitch on.
Grand, not window. She been telling you about boy Bocock?
He cropped up in the conversation.
About the grandmother creaking?
True, that is.
And the mother lying dead on the table?
On this here very one.
Don't believe a word of it. You should be ashamed yourself. Young lady in her condition. Look at her. Imminent. 8 months gone and she's a day. With her old man's out of whack, she could run wild with a story like that.
Ah, I know what it's like. I've had children. I aren't airtight.
Oh, that's cruel. There's no call for that. I got a treat for you, Denshot. You ain't gonna have it now. Yes. 18 pounds a night with breakfast thrown in. That suit you?
What's this treat?
Will you leave her speak? Fine pair of you two, mate. Claptrap and speechless.
I know what 'tis.
No, you don't. She tell you about the fish she catch, Tom Bocock. Different kinds of fish. No, she never do. 'Tis all pilchards with her. There was murgay, scad, lances, ache, ling, stargazy pie. Oh, that's a pie with fish heads stuck out the pastry dome looking up, hence the name. Never told her that rendition, did she?
A Woolworth version.
He went to save his mother.
Airtight.
He didn't go to sea and come back and find her dead on the table. Well, what's the point of that?
Truth.
Visitors don't want truth. They don't pay for truth. They like a good yarn with a happy ending, no death, and a nice choice of fish.
What's this treat, then? Eggy tart?
See, the accepted version don't have a grandmother in it. 'Tis just the boy and his mother, and she don't like that. When the visitors come and sit in this here kitchen, with her stuck in the corner there by the slab, and there's no grandmother in it, oh, she can't abide it. But you knock on any door in this port and ask if Tom Bocock had a grandmother, and they'll tell you no.
Yeast buns.
Dingo spar went Londis.
Oh.
And there was no snow, no death, and no marauding Spaniards neither.
Never mention the Spaniards.
Thank God for that.
I'll get round to it.
'Tis a simple tale,
About a young boy who defies the elements and plunders the sea, risking life and limb for the love of his mother. She got no money because she's a widow and she can't make ends meet. She got a house full of children. They're all chiels. Tom's the only boy. And there was a storm been raging for days. And mother's running out of food for to feed them all with. Well, naturally, she provides for the chiels first, and her and the boy get short ration. Christmas is coming up. They're reduced to trig meat, limpets. But the mother, she can't keep them down. Every time she swallow a limpet, she shoot the cat, zoom, straight back up again. Day before Christmas Eve, boy Thomas says,
"We've had enough of limpets."
He picks up the bowl and runs out the door with them. Tom! Where are we going with our limpets?
Stick them on us!
You can't go out in this!
Don't worry, Mother!
In this sea!
I belong to go!
Thomas! If you love your mother, come back indoors and eat their limpets!
I can't abide to sit and watch you waste away for want of good fish, Mother! If you can't hold down the trig meat, I've got to find you something you can. And if that means going upon the water, that's what I shall do. You've been a damn good mother to me, Mother. The best mother in all Mains Bay and beyond.
Oh, yes.
And I got to be a noble son back, because if I neglect you and you go and die on me, the life I got left will not be worth a smear.
Oh, dear me. Dear, old, dear, old, dear.
A saviour. That's what Tom Beaucott was. And he launched his boat, a punt, a cadger, nothing more. 15-footer with a basket of lime. 50 hooks and limpets. That's all he had for to peach the fish. He couldn't set no sail in that wind, so he rowed out and shot across the Drethen. No sooner was the line all shut than the little bugger hauled him out again. And every hook peached a fish, and every fish was different. Butterfish, cuckoo ray, sea pike, rock cat, spur dog, drannock, rawner, tailie, bounce, bib, fiddlefish, old wife, nine eyes, blue pole.
You and your fancy names.
Visitors like fancy names. That's what they'd have come here for. You don't want to hear the word dogfish, do you? Life's miserable enough as it
I
is.
I sit here and I watch their eyes glaze over.
They're entranced.
Old matey from Manchester.
Withenshaw.
He fell asleep.
So that's what happened anyhow.
Zonk.
Christmas Eve, back long. Want a bath, dear?
She's clean enough.
Visitors like to make use of the ablutions on arrival.
They'd have washed too much.
They'd wash till the cows come home.
Tis unhealthy.
That's up to them.
Waste of water.
Didn't meet it.
Wash, wash, wash.
Yeah.
That bathroom seemed more traffic than Eros.
Please forgive my husband's grandmother. Grumpy Guts, I call her, because she's 93-year-old and grumpy. Grump, grump, grump. That's all we get of her. But she isn't so grumpy when it comes to dinner time. When dinner's on the table, she's delirious. But who'll pay for the dinner? Didn't Gary. He can't make ends meet fishing no more, and the flat roofing's slacking off. No, 'tis Mr. and Mrs. Visitor what feed old Grumpy Gran. You don't have to like him. Nobody's asking you to like him. No one likes visitors, but that's not the point. You've got to flatter them, make them feel at home. I got a list of accents. I know them all. I'm damn good on accents. Had a gentleman here June month, Mr. Braithwaite. Gary said he came from Manchester. I said, no, he don't, Gar. He's from Withenshaw. Sure enough, Withenshaw's where he's from.
Fell asleep.
No, he didn't.
Right in the middle of Bucky Joe.
Dry cough, that is.
Bucky Zonk Joe.
He's booked again next year for the same 2 weeks. That's the way, see. Tis no good booking once. You've got to trap him. If you can tell them where they come from, that's flattery and they're in the bag. Half my visitors next year's rebookings, and that's 12% higher than the average, including a shoulder month. I've never had a visitor in November. You're the first.
And the last.
You're the one who wanted her to stay. I was all for chucking her out. I took my signs down. I got away with the bed. I would very much like to know where this maid's come from on her own, and how she came by this address in her condition. 'Tis a mystery to me, Gran. I've been down Londis buying your dinner, in case you forgot. Well, she could be anything. She could be a stowaway off one of their container ships moored in the roads, or a beamer girl off the trawlers who can't say who the father is, or a woman priest who's in disgrace, can't face the parish. Well, all of them's plausible this day and age. What's your name, dear? Tell me your name.
Go on.
Tell her your name.
Burcock.
Eh? Bocock. You put her up to this.
No, my name is Burcock.
That's her name.
Where are you from, dear?
Can't he tell?
Don't be sarcastic.
Thought he knew all the accents.
If you give her a chance to speak.
Muscle by.
Oh, that's nice. Where's that to, then?
Pretty long way from Withenshaw.
South Africa.
Couldn't say it's in England.
Put it on your list.
Will you stop picking
Before
at me?
Or she fall asleep.
All I get day after day.
Never mind, dear. I'll be dead directly.
Good.
What's this treat?
Will you shut up and let me see to this visitor?
Londis tea cakes.
How many of you are there, dear?
Don't like tea cakes.
Haven't you got no husband?
No.
Gone off tea cakes.
Mean to tell me you travel here all the way from... Where is it?
Mussel Bay.
South Africa? On your own? In that condition? In this weather?
Yes.
Why?
Tell her. Go on.
I had a vision.
Oh?
Plausible enough for you?
You mean to tell me you traveled here all the way from South Africa on your own in that condition in this weather on account of a vision?
Yes.
So what it appeared to you in this vision?
My husband...
Your husband's dead, is he?
That's right.
Tell her how he died.
He drowned.
Tell her his name.
Thomas.
Thomas, eh?
And he appeared to her in a vision, through a window, a sash window.
And what did he say in this here vision?
He sent me here.
Did he?
To this house.
This house?
To give birth.
He gave her this address.
Oh, that's charming, that is. Bugger didn't have the good manners to appear to me in a vision first, did he? And ask if it was convenient for his wife come to my house, November month, and give birth. First I hear of it's when she turn up my damn kitchen. Did he discuss rent with you by any chance, this husband of yours, in his vision?
No.
Of course he didn't. Because he in lumber with rent where he's gone. Tis us poor souls left behind who's lumber with rent. I assume you got the wherewithal to pay for your confinement.
She hasn't got a penny to her name.
What? Oh, that's charming, that is. Gary's going to love that.
Gary, be all right.
We can't forfeed you nothing.
Spend it all on plastic windows.
When's it due, this infant?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve? Well, that's 6 weeks. You're going to live here all the... Christmas Eve? What you say your husband's name was?
Thomas.
Thomas what?
Burcock.
Tom Bocock, in plain English.
Yes.
Where do you live? Mussel Bay?
Mousel, in plain English.
Oh, I wish I hadn't gone, Londis. I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd been here when you showed up. Who knows what she's been scheming?
No, I don't scheme. I tell the truth.
God help you when you meet your maker.
The closer I get to meeting the bugger, the less I reckon he's there.
There be someone to greet you, mark my words.
Well, they got better treats than tea cakes.
Tin tea cakes?
What, then?
Aren't they?
Donut.
Look... I want to know what a Bocock's doing in South Africa.
Donut.
There's been Bococks in South Africa since 1865.
I can't fit me mouth round a donut no more. Tis shrunk.
A Bocock left this house one morning in 1865, walked to Falmouth, boarded a ship...
I got to take me teeth out to eat a donut.
It's in the damn donut!
Shall I...
Go on. God's sake, go on.
And sailed 8,000 miles...
Sausage roll.
I said I went Londis.
To Cape Town.
Could have called in Hazelhurst.
I didn't.
Should have done.
If I did, I didn't get a sausage roll.
What's for tea, then?
Not butcher's meat.
Fish.
Fish, yes, fish.
Frozen fish?
Fresh fish.
Oh, that's unusual.
Thought we'd have a treat.
That's the treat?
It isn't your treat. It is our treat. Gary's and mine. Your treat's going in the bin.
Kind of fish?
Egg.
Egg?
Yes.
Ache. Don't like ache. Give me bellyache.
That's haddock.
Tidn't haddock. Tis ache.
I think go without.
I repeat on you.
Go without.
You eat ache, dear.
Who said she's staying?
She can have mine.
Go and pay for it first.
My guest.
Guests pay in this house.
Visitors pay.
Well, that's what a visitor is, paying guests.
Don't you ever have a guest who doesn't pay?
We can't afford it.
That's the trouble with visitors, see? Compassion fly out of the window. Or it would if the bugger wasn't airtight.
Didn't say she wasn't staying.
Yes, you did.
I said, who said she is staying?
Well, who did? Well,
tint for you to say. Tis for me to say.
Then say it.
All right. You can stay.
Thank you.
Have a seat.
Oh, I'm hot.
Are you now?
Do you think...
What?
We could open a window.
Go on, open the window.
If you promise to shut up.
Bocock window.
No, not the Bocock window.
Hark. Hear that? Wind's dropped. And the sea's going down with it. Tide's in. Hear the wash? Hardly a lap. Any fog?
No fog.
See the mount?
Clear as a bell.
Carry on, dear.
He was a miner, this Bocock.
Which Bocock?
The one who set sail for Cape Town in 1885.
65.
Why?
She's about to tell you.
My husband's great-great-grandfather, Albert Bocock, lived here in 1865 when the price of tin slumped and the mines shut down. They advertised for mine captains in South Africa, and on the 3rd day of August, he sailed from Falmouth to Durban. He took nothing with him but his name and his knowledge of where he'd come from. His brother Tom stayed here, in this house.
They was all called Tom. Or Albert.
Tom was a fisherman. Albert was a miner.
My Albert was a fisherman.
Couldn't hardly be a miner, could he?
Could have been. Could have gone Geever. Or Batalic. The Vamp was open, Crofty, Wheel Jane.
Bocock and scores of others left the land of their birth forever. They took with them something which was priceless, yet it cost nothing. Visionary but invisible, it was a great love of the place they'd left. This devotion was so strong it has stayed alive for generations and flourishes today. You can see it in the names of towns and people, in their customs, their religion, and the food they eat. But what is endured, too, are the stories they told about those they'd left behind. One of these was the legend of Bocock's Eve. Our version is very different to the ones you've been telling me.
Oh? What way different?
Any death in there?
Of course there isn't death.
Our Tom Bocock was a man who brought his trials upon himself.
Hey?
Every year on Christmas Eve, the people in this port, according to our tradition, feasted on 7 different kinds of fish.
There. See? Choice of fish.
Fish which throughout the year they caught and salted down specially for the feast.
See? Didn't only pilchard.
But Tom Bocock was idle. He couldn't be bothered to go to sea. He stayed in bed all day. And if the wind blew the candle out, he'd say it was too rough. Or if there was none, he'd point to coal bags in the sky and say there was a storm on its way.
Coal bags. True, that is.
So instead of a choice of fish, all he had to give his new wed wife to make the feast on their first Christmas Eve together was pilchards.
Ha!
Eh? Well, naturally, word got out, and the neighbors scorned the paucity of the Bocock's feast. His poor bride was so ashamed, she rushed upstairs and stripped the bed of linen, hauled her husband to his feet, flung him downstairs, ejected him from the house, and locked the door. She refused to have him back until he returned with 7 different kinds of fish.
And what were they?
Sadly, he caught nothing but cuttifers.
Dogfish?
Gurries full of cuttifers.
What's the point of that, then?
They said it was punishment, this lack of variety, for being lazy.
Did she let him back in?
Yes, but only to the house.
Where from was he barred?
She bore him no children.
The bedroom.
Oh, my God.
So that's another airtight Bocock.
If they had no progeny, how did they manage to keep the Bococks going?
There's more than one tune to be played on a fine new fiddle.
You old bitch. You put her up to this.
I am said nothing.
You and your evil mind.
I never even got so far as marauding Spaniards.
That baby you're carrying. Is it Gary's? Is that what you come for? Is it? It's crossed my mind, I can assure you. He's got woman someplace.
Ask him.
Think he'd tell me?
When he come over his tea, put it to him straight. Gary, you're conducting an affair with a drafty, fertile woman in order to carry through the Bocock line.
How can you say such things?
It's the truth.
There's no proof I'm the one who's barred. Gary's never submitted to a test, and I'm inconclusive.
Truth always hurts.
There's no treat for you.
I aren't fussed.
You cut your goose.
That's not the truth.
How do you know?
Not according to our legend.
Say? Come on. Will you tell us how?
There was a Bocock who exported pilchards early in the 16th century to Spain.
See? Spaniards.
His ship, the George, was wrecked off San Sebastian and he never returned. In time, he was forgotten by those at home. However, he'd survived the shipwreck and settled in Santander. One day, the wife of his great-great-grandson, Signora Boccaccia, paid a visit to this house out of the blue, unannounced.
So all this has occurred before?
Yes, it has occurred before. She gave birth here, in this house, to a boy, Tommaso.
Then what?
The Bococks raised him.
They raised him?
And that is how the name was perpetuated.
The Mr. and Mrs. Bocock who lived in this here house?
Yes.
Raised this Tommaso?
That's correct.
Where's the mother to, this Senora?
She died in childbirth.
Ah, death! So, do you reckon you're gonna die?
Is a risk?
Of course she's gonna die.
Oh, no.
It is in the legend.
We can't have that.
And everything else.
And me bring up the newborn?
Yes.
I can't do it.
You got no choice in the matter.
I won't do it.
It is preordained like Jesus.
What about the visitors?
What about them?
Well, visitors hate babies. They bawl and screech. I get no trade at all the shoulder months. Well, the gentleman from Withenshaw was saying in particular how much he liked the place because it was quiet with no dogs and babies. Infants and visitors is incompatible, and that's that.
Think the Blessed Virgin gives a damn about the visitors?
I'll fix you up with a good midwife.
Christ, Nazareth was teeming with them.
Glenda Trenet, she'll look after you.
Oh, she got to die.
It is a legend, Gran.
Exactly, like Jesus.
Well, this maid isn't the Virgin Mary.
She's a Bocock.
Why'd you come here?
Well, you would if you'd been told to by a dead man in a vision through a sash window.
Why didn't you break the spell and stay home in Mussel Bay? Don't you want to be the boy's mother?
Believe me, I don't want to die.
You ain't gonna die. This isn't 16th century. Look at you. Robust, healthy, full of colour.
That's heat blush.
You are, dear.
I am.
Still hot.
Yes.
Open the Bocock window.
Could you?
Can't have two open. Not November.
Oh, let her pass away then with lack of the oxygen.
Just for a minute, then.
Hark. Hear that?
What?
No sea.
No sea?
Can't hear nothing.
It's flat, that's why.
Flat as a pea on a plate.
No wind, that's why.
That's unusual. That's gone down some quick. Quick as smoke, that's gone down.
It was like this when my husband drowned.
Was it?
The sea was calm, visibility good, no fog, no wind.
Was he swimming?
No. He was a fisherman, my husband Thomas. He worked out of Mussel Bay in a cove boat.
That's what we call them.
With an outboard motor.
Damn good sea boat.
He worked pots for spider crab, crayfish and lobster. He hauled them with a capstan run off the engine.
Our boys got there.
It was a job he did nearly every day of his life. He'd go to sea in almost any weather. He didn't need to travel far to catch fish. But I worried when he left the house. I was always glad to see him come home. But on this day, I thought he was safe. The sea was calm. The sun was shining, no wind. There was nothing to fear at all. But the boat was found abandoned, drifting, and he was washed up 8 days later. Foul play was not suspected. His death was accidental. Our child was conceived the night before he died. The day he washed up, I unshuttered the blinds, opened the window, and let in the air. I saw him then. Thomas.
Come on. Come on, come on.
He was calling me.
Come on. Come on.
Outside, beckoning, calling.
Come on. Come on, come on.
I stepped through the window. I didn't fall. I was safe.
Come on.
I followed him towards a crowd, a huge gathering of men and women. I seemed to know them by sight. They were somehow familiar, though I'd never met them. Thomas was talking to me all the time, but I couldn't discern the words. As we entered the throng and swam amongst them, I became aware of what he was saying.
Elia, Bertie Bocock, Mara Bocock, Ezekiel.
He was introducing them.
Jonas Trevilcock Bocock, Jeffrey Bocock, Joseph Bocock.
And they were all called
Jennifer Bocock. Gonetta Bocock, Madeleine Bocock, Blind Harold Bocock, Boris Bocock, Matthew Bocock.
They were Pascal murmuring, Bocock. All of them, the places where they'd lived. Not just South Africa, but all over the world.
Arizona.
Michigan.
Wallaroo.
Adelaide.
In the accents of their adopted land.
Guerrero.
Loretto.
Illinois.
Wisconsin.
Cripple Creek.
Catarilla.
Christopher Bocock. Marietta Bocock.
In the distance, as the shoal thinned out.
Charlie Bocock. Sebastian Bocock.
I could see a
Jack
man
Bocock.
On his own, very old.
Tom Bocock.
And he spoke to me.
See all these here Bocock?
In an accent I didn't recognize.
I want to go home, but I can't, see? I still hear you. I can't get home. I gotta get home. It's up to you to get him home. If you don't get him home...
What?
You got the last Bocock in your belly, the last one. Take the little bugger home where he belongs, and we can all come back home with you. But if you don't get him home...
What?
We're all dead. I'm all dead. I'm all dead.
You can shut the window now.
How does he mean we're all dead?
They was all dead.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He was dead.
You couldn't bring him back to life, so...
You don't have living people in a vision.
I know.
I know what he meant.
What?
He didn't mean just him or them, but us too, and all unborn Bococks. We're all dead. Everything we knew will be dead. All we ever learned will be dead. All we ever owned will be gone. And nothing will remain except plastic windows and airtight visitors.
You mean...
He's come to save us.
A savior?
Yes, he has.
Like in my legend.
And mine.
Here you are, Gran. Here's your treat. Gran? Gran? Damn it, Gran. Open the window. Gran? Well, I do believe she's...
Yes.
Dead?
I think so.
And look out there. She's got up just like that. 'Tis rough again.
Bocock's Eve by Nick Dark. Gran was played by Barbara Jefford. Myrna by Diana Berryman. And The Visitor by Cassandra Holliday. Young Tom was played by Carl Groves. Old Tom by Ben Crowe. And the director was Claire Grove.
Next Tuesday afternoon, fire is the inspiration for our elemental tale, which you can hear at 2:15 next Tuesday.